Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul tells Timothy how to step up in a world that is running down. Have you ever felt like it's so much easier to let things slide in your own life than it is to actually put in the hard work of improving yourself? It seems to be a rule of life. Fail to study, your grades slide naturally. Fail to work out or watch what you eat, and your health slides. Doesn't it sometimes seem like there's some scientific law at work that just drags us down all the time? Well, that's because there is. It's called the second law of thermodynamics, or the law of entropy, which states that all things left to themselves will naturally run down over time. Leave a tool in the yard and it'll rust and rot instead of becoming cleaner and shinier. This is true of us as well as society. And Paul warns Timothy that things are only going to run down with time, but he can step up. Verse 1, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Have nothing to do with such people. That seems kind of harsh, because it is. Paul is being harsh on the false teachers whose bad teaching has resulted in bad living. Paul's not standing in judgment on the world, those outside, because maybe you read that and you thought, well, that describes a world gone mad without Jesus. And it does. But Paul is actually warning Timothy about those within the church who were corrupting the gospel and with it corrupting people's lives. It's guilt by association. And Paul says, have nothing to do with those false teachers. They love themselves and money and pleasure instead of God. And worst of all, they have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. In other words, there's no inner transformation. It's just outward show. If you look closely, there's no overt sin such as adultery or stealing in this list. In fact, in some ways, these false teachers can appear quite moral outwardly, but they're inwardly corrupt. Like an upstanding tree with large branches that produces rotten fruit because it's infested with worms. Speaking of worms, verse 6. These are the kind that worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. You could say these false teachers were manipulative. They go after lonely women. They target the vulnerable. Women who are already feeling guilty and manipulate their guilt and loneliness. These false teachers didn't play fair. Always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. You've probably seen this before yourself. People who study the Bible, but they never get the grace of God. They seem to read the New Testament like it's just a bunch more rules added to the Old Testament rules. That's why the truth is so important. The truth will set you free, but false teaching will weigh you down and run you down in the process. But these teachers have always been there in the church, past, present, and future. They'll still be there, unfortunately. Paul goes back into Israel's earliest history. Back when these kind of characters still roam the earth. Back when Moses stood before Pharaoh and tried to get Pharaoh to follow God. There to oppose Moses, every step of the way were Pharaoh's magicians, Jannes and Jambres. Paul likens the false teachers in Ephesus to those fakers in verse 8. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers opposed the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected, but they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. They too will run down, like the second law of thermodynamics, given time. But the opposite is also true. In the same way that false teaching causes your life to run down, the gospel of God's grace teaches you to stand up. Rather than being corrupted, this teaching of the gospel of God's grace leads to a life that is supernaturally running against the natural way of things. You're actually improving, getting better with time. And it's not some self-help program doing it either. It's by tapping more and more into God's word and discovering who Jesus really is. Verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. I love the contrast. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. What a contrast from Paul's behavior to that of the false teachers. And Timothy knew Paul's life and was inspired by it. But the false teachers, not so much. Paul calls them imposters who will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Like the second law of thermodynamics, they're just getting worse, bad to worse. Wow, Paul, why don't you just say what you think? It's another way of saying that their lives are just running down, decaying. But they don't get it. They can't connect the dots. They won't figure out what's causing their life to suck so bad. They'll never have an epiphany like, hey, this way of thinking is actually ruining my life. Instead, Paul says not only are they deceiving others, but they're being deceived. As Paul says earlier, always studying, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. But that doesn't have to be Timothy's fate. Paul shifts the attention back to Timothy in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Continue in what you have learned, Paul said, because you know those from whom you learned it. You see, Timothy had learned the gospel from Paul and ultimately from God himself. But he also had an advantage against corruption. In anti-rust treatment, the word of God itself. Paul says that the scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, and that it's useful for teaching you when you don't know everything, rebuking you, you know, when you need to be smacked upside the head with a spiritual 2x4, correcting, that means setting you straight when you're going crooked, and lastly, training in righteousness like an athlete. If you can run a 2-minute mile, why not a 3-minute mile? Why not a 4-minute mile? Over time, you'll get better and better. And that's the opposite of running down. It's running up. My friend, how would you like to know that you were going to get better over time? Be wiser, better taught, and as a result, become more like Jesus? Well, it all starts right here. Right here in going through the Word. Timothy knew the scriptures from his youth. And if you're young and you're letting the world change you instead of the word change you, then you're going to grow corrupt right alongside of society. But if you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that is what God's word is for, and that is what we're here for. Well, that's it today for our journey as we head through 2 Timothy. And I'll see you next time on our journey through the word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.